We open our Bibles tonight and we turn in God's Word to 2 Timothy 3. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, but persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This far we read God's Word tonight. Our text is found in verse 14 of this chapter. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Scripture teaches us in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Today, the old paths are questioned, ridiculed, and denied. Many in our society question the propriety of the Judeo-Christian origins of our country. They question the morals that are set forth in the Word of God and in the Ten Commandments. The morals that are set forth in the Word of God are not only despised today, but it seems God's commandments entirely rejected. The first instruction that is given, mind you, to students in many secular universities is in order for them to learn that they must question everything that they have been taught in the past. They must forsake the old paths and open their minds to a new and exciting path of learning. And that type of secular instruction that we find in our present world has crept deeply into the church world of our day as well. And it is seen in the form of relativism that we find not just simply in the world, but in the church. Everything that we have held as truth in the past is no longer relevant today, modern Christianity claims. Today we must set aside our doctrinal differences, which are, after all, mere trivialities, and concentrate on the bigger picture, how churches today can get together and make this world a better place to live. It really does not matter what church we attend, so long as we are sincere Christians. We're all going to the same place anyway. Even within Reformed churches, the attitude can be taken. It does not matter what brand of Reformed we are, so long as we are Reformed and going to a good church. The real and present danger, beloved saints, in that attitude of today's postmodern world is a falling away from the truth of God's Word. We are warned of that in these last days in which we live by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that is now the day of Christ's coming, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In contrast to those who no longer consider the truth to be a standard set by Scripture and the command of God through Jeremiah, that command needs to be heeded today. God's people must ask for the old ways. Where is good? And we must walk in those ways. Solomon puts it in a little different form when, in his wisdom, in Proverbs, he says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks." The landmarks that make you and I distinctively who we are. Paul is of the same mindset in the instruction that he gives to the young preacher Timothy in the Word of God that we have before us this evening. Continue thou in the things you have learned and have been assured of. That, then, is the subject we address tonight in connection with the Word of God we have before us. There is an urgent need for the church today and her members to be settled and grounded in the truth of God's Word. And the urgency of that need is given to you and me at the outset in this chapter that we read tonight. Paul begins this chapter with the alarming warning. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he lists a bunch of sins that will be prevalent in these last times. And what makes that list alarming is that it is not merely found in the present world in which we live, which we can expect after all, but it is found in the church. Having fallen from the truth, many in the church world today have an outward form of, that is, an outward show of Christianity, but they deny the power of it. In other words, there will be many who profess Christianity and speak of their piety, but who are void of the Spirit of our risen Lord. And the result of that is what we read now in verse 13 of 2 Timothy here. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Because there will be many in the church who seek to seduce others from the truth, we are called to continue in the old paths, that is, in those things that we have learned. This know, people of God, we do live in the last times. And keeping that in mind, we're going to consider tonight continuing in the things learned. Continuing in the things learned In the first place, continuing in what? Secondly, continuing what? And then finally, continuing how? Paul reminds the young preacher Timothy of the things that he had been taught. So when we consider the question tonight, continuing in what, the answer must be given. In the things we have learned. The things we have been taught. But that term, things, is a rather general term that can refer to most anything. I mean, must we continue in the rules of etiquette that our parents have taught us? Must we continue in what we have been taught as children in keeping our rooms clean or picking up behind ourselves? Is that what the apostle is talking about here? Obviously not. But the point is, the word things is a rather generic term. So what does Paul mean here in the passage we consider by those things that we have been taught? When used in its context, we find that the Apostle Paul has in mind some very serious things that have to do with what we believe as well as our Christian walk in the midst of this world. In verse 15, verse right after our text tonight, we find that the things Timothy learned from childhood were the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation. So basically then, the things in which Timothy was taught, or those things that he learned, were the things of the Scripture. And for that reason, the things that he had to continue in were the things that were taught him in Scripture. According to verse 16, the Scriptures are profitable for doctrine. That's why you need to continue in them. They're profitable for doctrine. That is, they're profitable for the content of what we believe. They are profitable for reproof, admonition, and correction. Continue in the Scriptures because they admonish us in the way that we ought to walk. And they correct us when we are walking in the wrong way. The Scriptures are profitable for instruction in righteousness. That is, they are profitable to instruct us in holy living or in righteous living. And in that way, God's people are thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, continue in those things that are contained in the Scriptures. Now, let me explain that, people of God, just a little bit more in depth. The Bible, you understand, teaches us truth. And although it is not a systematic handbook on doctrine, nevertheless, it contains the teachings of God and the teachings of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The church has been given those doctrines of the Scripture, and throughout the centuries, the Church of Jesus Christ has developed the truths of God's Word. It has established on the basis of Scripture such truths as the Trinity, the divinity of Jesus Christ, God's sovereignty, God's providence, predestination, faith, the order of salvation, the doctrine of the church, and the doctrine of the last things. That list of truth, or that list of doctrines that the Scriptures teach us, is a long list. And those are the things in which the believer is called to continue in his life. Furthermore, the Bible contains what is necessary for godly living in this world. It instructs us, doesn't it, in how we need to live. How we need to live as husband and wife in our marriage relationship. How we need to live in our homes and in our families, in our relationships as parents and children there. The Bible teaches us how we are to conduct ourselves as God's people in the midst of a wicked world. When we go out into this world and have to labor in this world, or when we seek our entertainment in this world, or when we live together with this world in the manner in which we are to treat our neighbor. We are taught that good works do not merit anything in God's sight, yet certainly they are a necessity in the life of a child of God who is justified and sanctified. And although the Scripture does not outline for us what we have to do in every instance of life, they do teach us the principles of godly living by which we need to go forth as shining lights in the midst of this world, a dark and perverse generation. So, the Bible teaches us, doesn't it? Doctrine and godly living. And those are the things now in which Timothy was called to continue and we together with him. But there is another element to the instruction we receive in God's Word before us tonight. Timothy was taught the truth of God's Word. He was taught the doctrines of Scripture that made him wise unto salvation. Notice what our text says, "Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned." He learned those things. Or, once again, "knowing of whom thou hast learned them." It was not as if Timothy had come by a knowledge of the Scriptures and the truth completely on his own. He learned them. He was taught them. And the passage before us teaches us, gives us instruction from whom he learned them. "Continue in those things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom," or literally it would be, "from whom you have learned those things." Know who taught you those things. Now, from a particular point of view, of course, the "of whom" there, or "from whom," refers to a person. In other words, it wasn't just the Scriptures that taught Timothy. Someone taught Timothy. From whom did Timothy, and from whom do you and I learn the Scriptures? Well, the answer to that, of course, is first and foremost beyond the human. When we learn the truths of God's Word, then we learn those truths from the Word of God. But take note of that. We didn't just simply say the Scriptures here, the writings of the Scriptures, but we speak of God's Word to us. Or, as the Apostle put it to young Timothy, the Scriptures are God-breathed. They are inspired of God, which means to say that it's God who teaches us His Word. That, first and foremost of all, God is our divine instructor. And He uses earthly means to teach us, of course, but it's God who instructs us in wisdom, in knowledge. He sees to it that you and I have been given His Word, the Scriptures. And He sees to it, as we will find, that we are instructed also in that Word. But then, Christ is the one who sends forth His Spirit to work in our hearts in order that when we receive that Word and we read that Word and we learn of the truth of that Word, then we believe it. We believe it. The Spirit of Christ assures us that what we have been taught is truth and that we must follow now in the way of that truth. Talk about thankful. How many people there are in our world that stumble around in the darkness of sin and unbelief? They have no direction. They have no purpose in their lives. None. But God, in His grace, not only gives to us His written Word, but He works in our hearts by His Spirit so that we know that that Word is truth and we love that Word. So God Himself really is the one who teaches us His Word. But God uses means to teach His Word to you and to me. The knowledge of Scripture and the truth that is taught there is not something, once again, that God just kind of pours out into your and my mind so that we have that truth in us. God teaches us that. When we look at young Timothy, we are told in verse 15 of this chapter, "You knew the Scriptures from a little child." He was taught the Scriptures as a little child. His grandmother and his mother taught Timothy the Scriptures. So he knew the Old Testament Scriptures already from a child. He was raised as a good Jew. But then the Apostle Paul gave him further illumination, didn't he, in the Scriptures. While Timothy was with him on his second and third journeys, then Paul took Timothy in hand as his own spiritual son and taught him the truths of Jesus Christ and how He came as a fulfillment to those Scriptures. So there was a certain body of knowledge that Timothy had been taught by God, yes, but through his mother and through the Apostle Paul. So he didn't attain that knowledge intuitively. He was definitely taught that. And the same is true, of course, in the instruction that the Apostle Paul received. He was taught as a good Jew too. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was taught as a good Pharisee, the Old Testament Scriptures. He knew them. And then Jesus Christ took him out into the wilderness and gave Paul further illumination in the gospel so that he was taught personally by Jesus Christ. But it's really no different throughout the generations of the church. God's people never live in a vacuum, you know. They're members of the Church of Jesus Christ in this world. And throughout the ages, as the truth of the Scriptures was developed by the church, it was taught. It was taught to those who were born into the church with each new generation, and it was taught to those who were grafted into that church with each new generation. And the same is still true today. Probably most of us sitting here tonight were in one way, shape, or form taught about God and about Jesus Christ and at least somewhat the Scriptures in our childhood. Others of us were taught from parents who themselves knew the Scriptures rather thoroughly, and already as little children, just as Timothy, were taught those Scriptures by their parents, so they know them from childhood on. By the way, a gift that we ought not to despise. What a wonderful blessing that is to be taught from childhood on the truths of God's Word. But that wasn't all the instruction that we received in God's Word and in the truth. We are given that instruction in the Church of Jesus Christ as well. Some of us, once again, in other churches, and then later on coming here. Some of us, having been taught all the way from childhood on in our own denomination of churches. Others perhaps weren't taught all that much at all from childhood on. And yet, here they sit, and they've been taught. So we have learned the truths of God's Word, and that through the Church of Jesus Christ. But we were all taught. We were all taught. The knowledge that we have sitting here tonight isn't something that was just poured into you and me intuitively. It's a knowledge that we have learned. And we have learned here in this Christian church. Not one of us here tonight can say that the things that we believe are things that we've just simply known willy-nilly all along. At the same time, Paul reminds us as believers that what we believe was by God's grace and has been given to us by means of His Word. As we said, that's a blessing. Because in today's church world, many seducers have gone forth and have taught lies instead of the truth of God's Word. Evil men. People have itching ears today. Paul speaks of that in the next chapter that he writes to Timothy. And they are given by God Himself to run after lies and myths in the place of God's Word. And there are plenty of teachers in the church world of our day that will scratch that itch of those who want to hear all kinds of new and exciting things other than the old paths of God's Word. But we have received God from God here in this Christian church is a gift that we ought not to take for granted. God has led us to know and be assured of the truth of His Word, and how grateful we ought to be for that. A reason for thanks in our prayers. For that reason, however, Paul exhorts Timothy. He says to Timothy, continue in those things you have learned. Continue in those things. What now does that word continue mean? Now, that term has the idea of remaining firm, enduring. What stands on the foreground is that of continuing along a certain path without veering off to the left or to the right. No matter what the temptation that might confront us in this life, stay firm and stay along that path. Endure the onslaughts that are leveled against you by enemies, but most of all, do not be lured away from those things that you have learned. Stay steady as a rock. That's the idea of continue. Remain firm and continue to hold to those things you have learned and been assured of. Now, all of that stands opposed to one who is unsure of himself or herself in what he or she has been taught, or who is always flip-flopping back and forth between different opinions. James teaches us that a man who is double-minded is unstable in all his ways, and there are those in the church who can be very much that way. That can especially be true of young men and young women, especially as they're exposed to other ideas than what they have been taught in their church. There are those who have learned the truths of Scripture, but they are not thoroughly convicted of those truths. Oh yes, we may believe them, but there are other good people out there who believe other things. They don't believe the same way that we do. And that's all right too. That's okay. That shows a lack of conviction, you see, of those things that we have learned and been assured of, as if, well, doctrinal distinctives, they're not all that important. Doesn't really matter. I can belong to this church that teaches these particular truths and doctrines, but then I can belong to that church too, even if it denies these truths and teaches me something different than these truths. There are also those in the Church of Jesus Christ who are always questioning, always debating and questioning those things that they have been taught, either by parents a lot of times, but even by their church. Now, do not misunderstand me tonight. We certainly must be sure of those things that we are taught that they are scriptural. We must be. But the point is, there are those in the church who are, well, they're rather contentious. They enjoy arguing, always arguing against the things that they have been taught by parents and by their church. And it can be heard. This always rubs me, you know, a little bit the wrong way, too. It can always be heard by certain members of Protestant Reformed churches. You PRs say, as if they're not Protestant Reformed themselves in what they believe. You PRs, I'm separating myself from the rest of you PRs because, well, I'm a special breed of PR. And I refuse to fit in with the norm. In opposition to this, the Scripture demands of God's people steadfastness in what we have been taught in the Church of Jesus Christ. As long as that Church of Jesus Christ is indeed faithful to the Scriptures, we as members of the Church must learn to be settled and grounded in the faith. Repeatedly, the Apostle Paul gives that kind of instruction to young Timothy. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Or again, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Or 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Paul taught, you see, in faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. That instruction comes to every member of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says it a little bit differently to the church in Colossae. In Colossians 1, verse 23, he writes, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." I preach that word to you, Paul says. Now be settled and grounded in that truth of the Word of God. Be grounded. No. Many years of being a pastor in congregations and looking for good office bearers in the church. That is really one characteristic that ought to describe a good office bearer. He's grounded. That is, his feet are firmly set in the doctrines of the church. He's convicted of them. And he is willing to make a stand on them. And he's not only grounded, but he's settled. He's not always questioning the church and what it teaches. He has a stable mind. And he's settled down peacefully into the Church of Jesus Christ, fully satisfied in what his church maintains as truth, as well as godly living. Yes, that makes a good office bearer in the church, but that makes for good members of the church as well. God has taught you and me His Word. The church of which we are a part teaches us the truth of that Word. It does, doesn't it? I mean, that's why we're sitting here as members of the church here.
church is teaching us the truth of God's Word. And there's no doubt about it that the church has its weaknesses. Our churches have their weaknesses and their sins. We must always together be working on those weaknesses in love and in patience with one another. Always looking for the peace of Zion. But there must be a genuine love for the truth as it has been given to you and to me through the church. And likewise, there is a reason that we need to continue in the things we have learned and been assured of. It's not stated, per se, in our text tonight, but we glean it out of the very first word that we read here in the Word of God that we consider tonight. The word, but. But continue thou in the things you have learned and been assured of. In contrast to what Paul had just written now in verse 13 of this chapter, we are called to remain steadfast in the truth. Here's what's written in verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. As we stated in our introduction, we live in those perilous times. There is today, in the church world, a denial of objective truth. To many within the Church of Jesus Christ, truth is a relative thing. It's what an individual makes the truth out to be in his own heart. In other words, I determine what is truth for me. And we can say, well, that's something that affects the church world in general, but it really has not infiltrated into our own churches. Better be very careful in saying that that's the case. When we have those, even within the realm of our own churches, that will make the statement, I don't have to listen to the church and what the church is teaching me, because I have the Scripture and that's good enough. And I'll interpret the Scripture the way that I want to believe that Scripture and what it teaches. I'm not interested in what the church is teaching me from the Scriptures as the truth. The reality is this, and if you recall, Reverend Erichs preached on that a number of weeks ago. The truth and the Scriptures are given by Jesus Christ to the church. You think that Christ would actually entrust the truth of His Word to a bunch of individuals running around saying that they have the truth? Christ entrusts the truth to the church, and the church is the pillar and the ground of that truth. The church is what upholds that truth of God's Word and dispenses the truth of God's Word as well. But there are those who have gone out into the churches today who claim that they have a hold on the truth, while the church itself is walking all the time in error. They have built their own doctrinal system from bits and pieces of various teachers that they probably have read somewhere, or from some incomplete understanding of what the Scriptures are teaching them. And then they pass that off as, and they put it together for themselves, and they pass that off as the truth. They have the truth. And everyone else needs to listen to them because the truth now resides in them. And more, many of these individuals are seducers. That is to say, they begin to take on themselves the position of a teacher. And they teach their errors. What Peter calls, by the way, cunningly devised fables. Through sophistry, through perhaps dynamic speech, but they're not scriptural. But they sound kind of scriptural, but they're not scriptural. And they seduce many away from what is actually the truth of God's Word. Because that is true, Scripture, God Himself exhorts you and me now through Timothy or through Paul, never believe. Never. Be firmly rooted in what you believe. Do not allow your feelings or some person's faulty reasoning to persuade you away from those things that you have learned and have been assured of. Do not allow your personal likes and dislikes to leave what you have confessed before the Church of Jesus Christ only to wander in your own ways. Don't do that. Continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of. Seek the old paths that you have been taught by the Church of Jesus Christ. And remain firm. Don't waver. Don't waver from the Scriptures that you've been taught. Because those are things that you have now been assured of and you have learned. And don't let the hard knocks of life, and there can be some hard knocks of life, don't let those hard knocks that take place in the Church of Jesus Christ persuade you to leave the truth behind and go somewhere else. How do I continue in these things? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? I study the Word of God. I study the Word of God on my own. I study the Word of God with my family. Why? Because the Scriptures make us perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. They make us wise in that salvation that our Savior has earned for you and me. But I also apply myself diligently to the preaching of the gospel as I receive it in the church. No, I'm not tooting my own horn tonight. We listen to the preaching of the gospel. We compare it to the Word of God. And we learn. I become a willing student under the preaching of God's Word. So that when we call for a moment of silent prayer to prepare our hearts for worship, then the prayer that we offer before we begin to worship is this: Father, give me a listening ear that I might place myself under the instruction that I receive through the preaching of the gospel in order to learn. That's my earnest prayer when I come to church. And it's not this: oh God, give me an ear that examines the preacher to hear whether he agrees with what I believe is the truth. And then, Father, give me the bold tongue to challenge him if I think he's wrong. That's not the prayer that we offer when we come to church. If that is our attitude, when we place ourselves above the preaching rather than under the preaching when coming to church, then we're not heeding the command of the passage of God's Word before us tonight. We are called to learn and then continue in those things that we learn. That does not mean if we discern an error in the preaching that we simply close our eyes to it. We're not saying that tonight. But rather it speaks of the proper and the humble attitude of the believer when he comes under the preaching of the gospel. We're called to learn and continue in that learning.
And we do it by studying the Scripture, heeding the preaching, and through prayer. The Spirit leads us into the truth. We ask the Lord for the guidance of the Spirit when we sit under the preaching, when we read the Word of God. And then we pray that the Lord will give us strength and the grace to continue in those things we have learned too. Because it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ sent forth to dwell in our hearts after all that will give us the blessed assurance of the gospel, the things that we have learned and have been assured of through that Spirit. So we pray. And we pray for the leading of the Spirit in our lives. And in that way, we are able to continue steadfast in the things that we have learned. God grant us the grace to do that. Amen. Father in heaven, we come before Thee thankful. Thankful for the blessings that we receive of Thy hand, that the Scriptures are proclaimed to us, expounded, explained, and then applied as well, so that the Word of God touches us in our lives. It's not just some cold, abstract dogma that we hear, but that Word of God is a living Word that touches us in the way that we are to conduct ourselves in the church and in the world. May we continue faithful unto Thee, being convicted of the truth of Thy Word, firmly rooted and grounded. May we as individuals go forth in that stability and in that security in our own lives. Forgive us of our own weaknesses in that regard, oftentimes failures. Wilt Thou blot out our sins in the precious blood of our Savior? We are thankful that we can come unto Thee through Him. Guide us now also in this evening hour too, Father, as we continue in our fellowship with one another and in the presentation that we will receive soon on the Reformation and the Renaissance. We pray that even in this way too we can be built up in our knowledge of Thee and of Thy Word. Thou continue to guide us also as those who are visiting us in this week to come must travel home again. Give unto them traveling mercies. We ask these things for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.